And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It is just turning 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday. It's the 4th of September. How are you all keeping out there? I hope you're very well indeed. And we look forward to your company for the next 3 hours on this programme and throughout the day here on your local radio station, Highland Radio. Lots to talk about. Some very, very interesting stories coming up on the programme. You won't want to miss it. And we want you involved, having your say, of course, raising your own topics and issues. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000. If you prefer, you can give us a call on 07491 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. Now, before we look at the newspapers today, to remind you, I was just talking to Lee there before 9 o'clock about this, and it is Irish Music Month. It's part of a national New Local Hero competition, and 21 participating radio stations have come together and agreed that, you know, we'll back artists, we'll play artists, and we'll crown a winning artist. And as I've said on the show before, a lot of people that have entered this competition in the few short years it's been running have gone on to have really successful careers. And we have four finalists, and they're taking part in a special show in Ongreanon Theatre on Friday. We've got Zoe McCauley. She's 16 years of age, although her talent belies her age. She's a singer-songwriter from Dunloe. She's going to be performing Wait and See and a couple of other tracks live. Tessio, a big up-and-coming duo from Derry, Jude McCandless and Callum Feeney. They're going to be performing Hang It in their own unique style. They play acoustic guitars and fantastic harmonies. Owen Ferry is from Gwydor. He's 18 years of age. Again, his talent belies his age. He's a singer-songwriter and has got some really great influences in his work. Mairéadh Mooney, Enya, Moya Brennan. But he's got his own style. His track is Miss You. He's going to perform that for us and a couple of others as well. And we've got the Afades. They've got a fresh sound, of course. They've released their third single, Giving Out, and that is our selected single. Cathair, Grace, M, Grace N and Kyle. They're going to be performing Giving Out and two other tracks. So it's going to be a live show from 9 o'clock. There's no pay-per-view, no That's Entertainment. It's a different type of a show on Friday. It's just purely to talk about music, to hear music, to have a bit of crack as well. So it's going to be myself. Jimmy Stafford and Paul McDevitt are going to be there as well. And you can be there. And that's the purpose of this preamble. Because we wanted to take it out of the studio for a different vibe for this event. And Patricia and the rest of the crew at Ongreanon have been very accommodating. But what does that mean? It means that we're doing a radio show, but there are also seats there. And you can come along if you book your ticket, which the ticket is free, of course. And many of you have. We've nearly sold out Row J. It's very exciting. But there are still loads of tickets available. I didn't know really what interest there would or would not be on it. But if you've nothing to do on Friday morning and you want to come along and see a live show and hear some great live music, go on to the Ongreanon website, ongreanon.com, and go in and book your tickets. And as I say, there's already been quite a big interest in that, which is very exciting. Now, also which is exciting, and Lee suggested this as well, is after 11 o'clock down on Ongreanon, the Trombola is out and about across the northwest. It's making its way to the stage of Ongreanon Theatre because we'll be giving €10,000 away to one lucky listener. So you can still buy your tickets that by the way. We've $2,500 to give away on Lee Gucci's show on Friday morning and $10,000 then after 11 on this show. And if you want to be in with a chance, you have to buy your ticket right now. You'll be in both draws, of course. Tickets are a tenner, six for 50, 10 for 80. Go to highlandradio.com, click on Mega Summer Draw, and you'll see what you have to do there. This is the last chance, really, to win big as part of this Highland Radio Mega Draw. Now, also, if you want to give us a call here, we can help you with your tickets, 07491 25000. So it's all happening Friday. Come and watch a brilliant live music show in Ongreanon Theatre from 9 a.m. Go to ongreanon.com, book your tickets there. They're free, by the way. But obviously that's to be seat allocations and stuff like that. And also get your tickets and come along and see the draw live. You might win. It'd be a great story. So there you have it. Right, I just wanted to give that an early mention. And just to remind you that you can watch this show and you'll be able to watch Friday's show as well, of course, on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch that on your smart TV or your Fire Stick as well. Just open the app. And also we're on Facebook, Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituaries, Highland Hub, and on the X platform at Highland Radio. Right, on to the newspapers, and it makes for harrowing reading, and potentially dependent on who's in your car or who's in around the kitchen table or wherever you're listening to us, it makes for difficult listening, because we're going to be briefly talking here now about thousands of allegations of abuse in 308 schools run by religious orders, 884 alleged abusers, 590 allegations recorded in 17 special schools. Almost 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse made in 308 schools run by religious orders were revealed in a landmark report yesterday. The allegations, spanning a 30-year period, were disclosed in a government-appointed inquiry. In the scoping inquiry report, which detailed a systemic culture of abuse in religious-run day and boarding schools throughout the country, 2,395 allegations of abuse were reported against 884 people. Of those accused of abuse, fewer than half are still alive, according to the report. It's likely that the true number of instances is much higher, the report noted, given the level of underreporting of childhood sexual abuse. I think it's something in the region of, if you were to ask people were they abused at school, almost half of them would be telling that story for the first time if they were to answer honestly. The inquiry also revealed that a high number of allegations are concentrated in special education schools, where there were 590 allegations recorded in 17 institutions involving 198 alleged abusers. And I can't get my head around any of this. What these children and what many, many children went through was absolutely horrendous. You know, they talk about their childhood being stolen. Lives were stolen here. There's lots of people that went through this that aren't with us anymore and died before their time, and others that have carried this and it's affected their life throughout their life and their education and their relationships and their relationships with their family and their own children. The extent of it, I can't get the extent of it, that so many people, 884 people at least, got themselves into these positions of responsibility and they did these awful things to these children. Why were there so many of them? How did they know they could get away with it? How could they actually do it? How could we, as a society, to some extent, turn a blind eye? The report covers what some of these young people went through, and absolutely horrendous, horrendous stuff. Two Donegal schools have been named in that scoping inquiry. As I mentioned, almost 2,400 allegations. St. Louis Girls Convent National School in Bundoran. St. Louis Girls Convent National School in Bundoran, the allegations there. Also allegations at De La Salle Secondary School in Ballyshannon. Both were named in the report. There's a second section of the report that also lists further places where alleged abuse took place. So as I mentioned, St. Louis Girls Convent School, Station Road, Bundoran. One participant in this report named that school. The De La Salle Secondary School, Ballyshannon, another victim there, alleged victim, I suppose I must say. Also, too, in a sort of an amendment or an appendant to it, there are also allegations, three in total, made at Skull Columbkill in Letterkenny. The religious order which ran that at that time, I don't believe they do any longer, was the Presentation Brothers. So three allegations of abuse against two alleged abusers in that school. Now, if that's something you want to talk about, or maybe you were a victim, maybe it's your time to speak if you want to. And I don't want to do anything that makes any situation worse for anyone. But maybe it might help. If you want to speak to us, get in touch with the programme, 086 60 25 000. You can text us or give us a call on 074 91 25 000. This is not the total. This is what this report found. As I say, St. Louis Girls Convent National School, Bundoran, one. That school was named once. De La Salle Secondary School, Ballyshannon, it was named as well. And three allegations against two abusers at Presentation Brothers as they ran Skull Columbkill, Letterkenny, County Donegal. As I say, that report's covered extensively in all of the papers, and it really puts things into context. I just don't understand how anyone in a position of how any adult could do that to a child, but it's extensive. If you want to talk about that, please get in touch with us. It may help you. Right, we're heading into a general election, which means, and every government most likely would do this, it means that we're going to get something of a giveaway budget. But every action has a reaction, and the government's being told that its overspending is going to cost each and every house, so each and every one of you, one of your houses, €1,000. That's the cost of a giveaway budget. Overspending by the government is adding to price pressures, putting about €1,000 a year onto a typical household's bills, according to the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council. It says recent research suggests that by breaching its own spending rule, the government could add 1.9% to consumer prices next year. So while households will benefit with the from the extra spending, such as electricity credits, indirect costs will offset those gains. The national spending rule, introduced in 21, set an annual limit of 5% for spending increases set net of any tax raises, but the government has breached it every year since. And really what we're talking about here is we're talking about money that we can't really rely on, which is the corporation tax windfall. We're dipping into that. We can't do long-term spending based on what could be short-term income. That's where the problem might lie. But in a pre-budget submission, IFAC says that by doing so, the government is adding needless pressure to an already hot economy. The government continues to make big promises. This is driving up prices and making it harder for people to afford the basics. Price increases may have slowed, but there are many areas where pressures remain high, Seamus Coffey, the chair of the state's budgetary watchdog, said. Right, on to Bikegate, this bike shed gate. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, this is a very easy story to get angry about, isn't it? But I mean, when you look at the overspend on things like the Children's Hospital and other areas of misspending, the thing that strikes me about this bus shelter story is this is one story. This is one that got out. So what other excess spending is happening? There is talk in America that if Donald Trump were to be elected, he's close to committing a panel that oversees spending. And something like this perhaps would be useful because they could examine this and then maybe dig a little bit deeper like they did with the RTE to see what else is happening. But anyway, a full review is underway into the inexcusable and inexplicable €336,000 spent on a bike shelter at Leinster House. Now, this thing is not even a shelter, by the way. It's a suspended roof with Irish weather and wind. Your bike's getting wet, you're getting wet anyway. Kieran O'Donnell, Minister of State with responsibility for the Office of Public Works, has asked his officials to carry out a full immediate review of the project. In a statement, a spokesperson for the OPW said the project was procured via a framework agreement and complies with public procurement and planning guidelines. The spokesperson said the bike shelter is within the grounds of Leinster House and its construction involved several unique challenges. The OPW said the structure consists of a steel... I'm not reading that nonsense. It's epoxy bike shelter. That's all it does. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, okay. We'll get back to some of the other papers in a second because mornings are busy, not least for our first guest here, Tanya Roberts at Brown. Good morning to you, Tanya. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it this morning.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I am okay. How are you keeping? This was Oisin's first day at college. I mean, obviously, it's a big milestone, is it? It's supposed to be a very exciting, not without problems in any household, but it's supposed to be, generally speaking, you know, a rite of passage, an exciting time. But not so. What was the situation for your family, Tanya?
So just for this morning, as an example, I would have been expecting transport to come for Oisin to take him to his new service up in Letterkenny, but it wasn't the case. We were told on Thursday that Oisin had no transport going forward. So I was just left to my own devices just to get him up there this morning. I had to rush back down. I'm opening my business this morning. I have new family starting in the preschool. And I have a new staff member here too this morning, so it's beyond stressful.
Yeah, busy mum, juggling stuff. Yeah, you don't need this.
Yeah, that's it. We left the house at 10 to 8 this morning. The service were very kind to open early to accommodate me today, to leave him off early, to try and get me back down and just in the door at work. So it's taken over an hour and a half round trip. My dad was up at the house this morning getting my other two kids out to school as my husband's also at work. So it's not practical and it's very, very stressful.
Yeah. Now, you already went through what many would see as the stressful, long process of actually securing transport. That all was in place. So why this short notice, 3 days notice that transport's not available? What have you been told, or what do you believe has happened, Tanya?
I believe that somebody somewhere along the way has not efficiently done their job that they were supposed to do. And there are over 40 families around Donegal and Sligo affected by this cohort that Oisin is part of at the minute. So there was a delay in the funding to allocate new buses. So this then has to go out to tender. They have to find new bus drivers, bus escorts, start a vetting process has to happen. It's just ridiculous that it was left this late. This process started for us last year. In April, I went through a very lengthy process with the HSE transport coordinator, and at no stage during this process was I made aware that there is a possibility that this might not actually happen. And to be told on Thursday, which leaves 2 working days to try and sort something before he starts his new centre, is an absolute disgrace. And they should be so ashamed of themselves.
What have you been told the reasons are? Have you actually been told about the sort of, the tendering process, funding release and all that type of stuff, Tanya? How have you managed to find that information out?
So I was told directly by the HSE transport coordinator who was dealing with this application and this whole process that there has been a delay in the funding, that there is no spaces currently available on the buses that they have, so they have to go and get new buses. But I mean, they knew about this and these children and young adults starting these new services for the last year and a half. It's been a very difficult process to make this transition from school to adult services. It seems as soon as you turn 18, nobody cares about you. And that's how we feel as parents. And I was overwhelmed by the amount of messages that I received yesterday from parents that have been in a similar situation for years. This has not just happened to us this week. This is going on for years and years, and it is not good enough.
What is the timeline for? You talked about the procedure, the process that has to be gone through, i.e., getting buses, getting drivers, getting people assistance onto the bus. That could take weeks and months, or have they started that process, or where are we at?
So I believe that the process is started. I did try to contact the offices directly on Thursday and Friday, and nobody would speak to me. They said that they were too busy to actually have a conversation with me. I did speak to the HSE transport coordinator who was working directly with SIT. So Oisin was part of Bus Éireann for 14 years when he went to Little Angels.
Yeah.
And we never had an issue. His bus came for 14 years in the morning and in the afternoon on time, took him to school. And that was going to be the only familiarity for him attending day services, is that he would go on his bus. That would be his morning routine, his afternoon routine. And we're all over the place at the minute. So it's so stressful. We don't know how long it's going to take. I asked the question, are they going to provide funding for transport if I was to get a wheelchair taxi? It's not just a matter that I can phone somebody that's passing my house going up the road. Can he have a lift? It is not that simple. And it's just not fair. I don't have the words to express my anger. I couldn't speak on the phone on Thursday to the coordinator. And she called me back on Friday. She says, I know you were distressed yesterday. How are you today? I was still distressed. I still couldn't talk to her. I just cannot comprehend how they could let this happen to families in this situation.
Yeah. I'm just concerned about the timeline here. I mean, even Garda vetting, when you a driver is selected for this route, that could be a further couple of weeks delay. You hope it's not the case, but I wouldn't be optimistic of any result on this anytime particularly soon. So they need to put an interim plan in place, i.e., funding for alternative transport.
If that had been offered, they've just left us completely at a loss. I said, what am I supposed to do? And I was told, you need to figure it out yourself. There is no funding available. I said, if I provide the funding, can I, will it be allocated after? No, not so ever at all will they give any funding towards private transport.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, you went into this new term or Oisin's new first day at college, you know, with your business and other responsibilities, presuming a system was in place. But you can't bilocate. You can't be in two places at the same time. What are you going to do going forward, Tanya? Because this places you and 40 odd other families probably in a very similar position.
I honestly don't know. It's day by day at the minute, and that is the most stressful thing. As a parent of a child with additional needs, you always have to have a plan in place and expect the unexpected. But we were not expecting this under no circumstances. It's just really throwing a spanner in the works, and I'm relying heavily on my family and my support system around me to help me. As I said earlier, like, my dad was up at my house at 10 to 8 to try and get my other two young children out to school this morning whilst I was gone to leave Oisin up. And it's not practical. I can't do it. I don't know what we're going to do going forward. I don't know. I'm at a complete loss.
Did they give you any timeline, Tanya?
I was told at least 3 weeks. Another family was told at least 8 weeks. We're all being told different things. So we don't know.
Okay. And we do know that buses can be, that if there is a will, there is a way to get this done. They can do it if they want to. We know they can. It's just a case of someone in a decision making position.
The issue is there is buses. There are buses going in that direction from my area, but because they are not going to third level education, they are prohibited from taking the likes of Oisin on their bus as they're going to national school and secondary level education. So you think for a couple of weeks something could be put in place that he could get a lift on one of these buses that are already going up the road. Even his bus from last year, I met him on the road this morning. You know, he's no different. He's still the same person he was a couple of months ago whilst he was on that bus.
Yeah.
And to be treated this way, I just don't have the words to express the anger and the hurt and the frustration that this has caused my family and the other families that are affected by this.
All right, Tanya, listen, I mean, I appreciate you squeezing us in. I know how incredibly busy you are, and already you've had day's work under your belt, it must feel like. Tanya, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg, for allowing me to highlight this. Thank you.
That's important. That's Tanya Roberts Brown there. Tanya Roberts Brown. As I say, many other families are affected by this. It doesn't make sense, does it? How can we treat people like this? How can we treat Oisin like this and Oisin's family? And how it must make them feel? I don't need to add any words to what Tanya said. You heard there yourself how it makes her feel, and I'm sure many others are in the same position. If you are in the same position and you want to help us highlight this issue, 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text, or give us a call on 07491 25000. We will of course be making contact with the HSE to try and get some explanation as to what went on, but the problem will be is no one is going to actually be responsible for that, right? It's kind of like a faceless situations, isn't it? So someone or people can drop the ball or make a decision or make a mistake or not notify families or not have proper communication. And it's not a person. We're just going to talk about the HSE here. I'm not talking about heads on a stick or a plate. That's not what I'm on about here. But if you've got an organisation that can, 3 days out, contact families and say there's no transport going forward, there won't be transport for 3 weeks, 8 weeks. It could be months. And it's just an organisation. So we can't sort of say, like, if it was here, if I made a mistake on this programme, you could say, right, Greg Hughes, you're responsible. You know, take your responsibility, do your job better into the future. But it doesn't happen with it. This is the HSE. So I know what the reply is going to be, and it's just going to be as if it's from sort of nondescript inanimate object. But anyway, we will chase it up nonetheless. I'll just return to the papers here. The Irish Daily Star this morning: there's been little progress over a 12-month period on the issue of the development of a transgender policy at Dúchas Women's Prison, Dúchas. This is according to the latest annual report by the Visiting Committee for the 146-bed capacity prison, which has repeated its call for the creation of a clear, fair and supportive transgender policy for the operation of the prison. The committee states such a policy is in urgent and essential need. On the absence of a transgender policy, the visiting committee report states that it is a matter of concern if the prison aspires to be exclusive or inclusive of all women in custody. In the last published 22 report, they state, "We would strongly urge that this be dealt with as a matter of priority. Is it essential that relevant training and education be provided for prison staff to support the policy effectively and to ensure the dignity and safety of any transgender women who come into custody?" The committee states that the Irish Prison Service was developing a transgender policy throughout 22 and assures and was aware. I wonder, is transgender women, is there an issue, or does it have to be a policy of transgender men going into men's prisons? Is that an issue? Does that come up often, or is it just trans women going into women's prisons? Some good news. The little girl who was stabbed in a knife attack outside her school last year is back home. Isn't that good? She's been discharged from hospital after 281 days. The family of the child who was severely injured in the stabbing on November 23 last said that they are now beginning a new chapter in their darling's rehabilitation. In an update on the funding raising page that was set up for them in the wake of the attack, her family said the hope is she is able to swallow food, move her arms and legs more purposefully and utter some more sounds. The young girl had initially been admitted to the ICU at Dublin's Temple Street Children's Hospital, then aged just five. She and two other children, along with their carer, were hospitalised following the stabbing incident outside Clash Jamura at Parnell Square in Dublin's north inner city. And just to be clear, because people might say, well, why aren't you mentioning the person responsible, or the person alleged to be responsible, I should say, Riyad Bouchaka. He's 50. He's charged in relation to the attack. He was before the courts just before Christmas, so he's named and he's pictured and his information's out there. He is charged with that crime and he'll have his day in court. Russia has killed at least 51 people and wounded more than 200 in its deadliest strike against Ukraine so far this year, according to the Irish Daily Mirror. Two ballistic missiles smashed a military training facility and nearby hospital in Poltava early yesterday. City Governor Filip Pronin announced 3 days of mourning, which will start today. He said the enemy certainly must answer for all its crimes against humanity. Simon Harris over in Ukraine today, I understand. And finally, to the Finn Valley Voice, a big congratulations. 30th anniversary of the Finn Valley Voice on the 7th of September, next Saturday. The Finn Valley Voice will celebrate its 30th birthday. Another milestone and a very welcome one in the story of the newspaper, which rightly describes itself as your community choice, your community voice. The Finn Valley Voice has now officially been at the heart of the community for an entire generation. Congratulations to everyone involved, Celine and all the crew and Pat, and there's loads of people involved in that. Still great to see quality newspapers out there that focus on, you know, particularly specific areas and provide a great service there. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. A caller says, my 19-year-old son has applied for, wait for it, 25 jobs in the last 2 weeks and only got an interview for one. He went for it even though he knew he wouldn't get it for the experience of doing an interview. One job even re-advertised the job again. How is this fair of employers? Surely they should respond whether you are called for an interview or not. Yeah, indeed, I think they should. That would be basic manners. Right, loads more of your comments we'll get to in a moment, but I first want to go to Independent Councillor Micheál Colm McGillespie. Good morning to you, Micheál Colm.
Margin White, Greg.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, right. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it, trying to get Irish Water, Uisce Éireann, around a table to talk about, you know, the provision of services in this county. So they did agree, did they, for one meeting at a full council in Letterkenny, or at least with all councillors from all municipal districts in Lifford, I beg your pardon?
Well, what happened was that, look, I've been trying to get Uisce Éireann to come and sit down with us for a very, very long time. There seems to be this kind of arrogant attitude that they're not willing to communicate with public representatives, and more importantly, not willing to engage or meet with the public that they're here to serve. So they wanted a meeting out in Lifford. I opposed that. Other councillors also supported that, what I said. But what I find disrespectful is that they've asked us to come and meet them in the Radisson's at different hotel points, right? Now, bear in mind, this is taxpayers' money that will be renting these rooms. We have council offices that I believe that they should be meeting us in. They should be coming into Clonlea, meeting us there. If they're going to Donegal, they should be meeting in the Donegal office. And I think it's very disrespectful, but it shows clearly the contempt I feel, and that these are strongly my views, that Askeran holds to the public representatives, and more importantly, like I said, the public. Now, we have a lot of issues here in West Donegal.
Before we get to that, if you don't mind, Councillor, they initially offered one meeting in Lifford. You refused that and you stood firm on that. They have now agreed, have they, to meet with each municipal district. And you're meeting them for the first time on Thursday. And where is that meeting taking place? Is it going to be in the...
It's in the Radisson. And I believe that the format for this meeting is wrong. Public meetings that are being held by public representatives and officials, state officials, and that's what they are. They work for the state in terms, they work for the people. The public should have a right to be able to come along and hear what Askeran has to say. We're meeting them in the Radisson's at 11 o'clock from our Glantee MD. And now, unfortunately, because it's a private venue, the public probably wouldn't get access. But if it was me that was experiencing the real hardships that people are, what the water infrastructure, I'd be going to that meeting. I would absolutely welcome anybody to come along to that meeting. There is a link that we've been given. If we can't go to the meeting in person, that we can go online, I'll be posting that on Facebook myself. I'm not sure if they'll get access, but if you don't try, you don't get. And it's not that I'm trying to be awkward here to Askeran. What I'm trying to do is my job for the people who elect me and do it to the best of my ability. And if that means organising and agitating at times, that's what has to be done. And Askeran, for me, is a public representative. So if there's an outage in any area, Greg, and Highland has been absolutely brilliant through the years for highlighting all these outages and the difficulties with water bursts. But if there's an outage and our hard-working staff who work 7 days a week and are out looking for that burst to try to connect people very quickly, we can only talk to a call centre down in Clondaicarkey who works, that staff doesn't work for Askeran. They work for, I think, Capita is the company that they work for. We don't even get to speak to Askeran. We can't get to speak to Askeran. Uh-huh. And there's so many issues out there.
So on Thursday, you'll get to sit down in front of them. It'll be very interesting to see how the time is allocated. So how long is the meeting? An hour, 2 hours?
Well, I'll just check there now.
Because I'll tell you, it'll be interesting to see how much of that's taken up by a presentation on the fantastic work Askeran is doing in West Donegal. And then
we have an hour and a half, Greg.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see how much of that is actually allocated to the likes of yourself, highlighting the concerns. And you can go through the concerns now if you wish. Sorry, I just wanted to catch up to this point now. So, I mean, obviously, there's serious issues with waste disposal in West Donegal, and also serious problems with inconsistent supply. What do you see as the big issues that you want to raise with Irish Water then?
Well, the big issues, and this is where the difficulty is, we're six councillors, right? And each councillor must have the adequate time to raise the issues that they have in their own area. And that is only right that they do. So you're allocated an hour and a half. And as you say, by the time they come in and they talk about all the great work that they're doing and all that waffle, then we're left with very little time then for us to engage with them. I have a huge amount of issues. So, for example, I'm down here at the port now. I was meeting with the contractors and the council engineers in terms of the works that's going on in Ashahara here now, right?
Yeah.
But one of the issues that we have here is the sewer system here, and the concern that the fishing community constantly have is what they believe that there's raw sewage going into our bay where people are fishing from, right? The other big issues that we have is that you look at Elangola, three or four times that water was burst and we had to wait weeks and weeks to get that water line fixed. While I was talking to Corley Condaigunangal, because I can't get to talk to Askeran, who has that responsibility, I was told by two senior staff, One of them a director, and the other one is the overseer of water services within the Glenties MD. And I was told that SK Éireann had instructed them not to respond. Now, if that is happening, that is so undemocratic. So as SK Éireann are saying, and I've written to SK Éireann asking them, I need a response to that there. The minister needs to respond to that there. Is this a way that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael have set up SK Éireann that it's undemocratic in the terms of the council can't respond to even the directors of the council itself, which is us as county councillors? There's huge questions.
Also, you see, the problem is, and it also relates to a ramble I had about the HSC a little earlier on, whereby families are being let down at short notice to transport their young family members to school or college. There's no responsibility or accountability. You can't. It's Éisc Éireann. We always talk about Éisc Éireann, Éisc Éireann, Éisc Éireann. Who is individually responsible for this? So who? There is no one person that can say, it's me who's decided that we're not going to upgrade the water system in Cadw or wherever it might be. It's this faceless organisation that even local elected representatives can't properly engage with. You know, it doesn't feel very democratic. It doesn't feel very, looking for anyone to get sacked or anything like that. What I'm saying is how can we, in terms of the provision of health, the provision of services like water, when no one's responsible and it's this faceless organisation, things are never going to improve because you never are held responsible like you might be in a private company.
No, and this is the difficulty for us, the real difficulty. And you're right, who is responsible? And it's the way that the system, and when we were in Can't Pay, Won't Pay, and we were fighting this here, we were talking right through all the meetings that Irish Water, as it was called back then, that this is, would be the system that would have been set up, that was deliberately, people in the political power, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, had sat down and they deliberately put this system together. And it's very unfair, first and foremost, for the public that can't get access, right? And it's unaccountable. Should we look at the fiasco that they were able to pay 300,000 for 18 bike stands in Ballyclia, which would have built a house here in West Donegal for some of the homeless families that are homeless, but nobody's responsible. But SK Éireann is a reflection of that there. And I find it very frustrating because I focus hugely on water and water infrastructure and sewerage, right? So in the Cadw area, we were without water for a long time. The pictures that were being sent to me of the black water that were coming out of the taps. We have a situation over in Ardivag that the water has been eroding the pipe infrastructure, the copper infrastructure in people's houses. There is a case against that there. Not something that we wanted to do. We wanted to engage with us here and that there and find a solution, but nobody would take our calls. Nobody would sit down at a council meeting with us and talk to us. You talk to the directors or to those within the water service within the council, and it's always, well, a scaring. And it's not working when you have places like Lashahoo and Waharoti and all them are weeks at end without water.
Okay,
when
and
you
just
have
in relation to that,
locals.
Let's look at it a different way in terms of accountability. Say there is a 1 kilometre stretch of piping that continuously is bursting. How much is it costing to constantly go out and patch that? And then the problem moves up a little bit and patch that. And then it moves up a little bit and patch that. And then you price in the inconvenience to the public, whereby we have a basic human right to access to water. Like, how much money are we wasting trying to maintain and whack-a-mole that crappy piece of pipe instead of replacing it? Do you know what I mean? That should be explained to us, because that is public money that perhaps is not being used to its potential.
So to answer that call, I would have been contacted the call centre, the only place that we can engage with, to get answers to them questions. I got an email last week that it was a very fluffy way to answer the question, right? And if you take Gidor, right, where I represent as well, and if you look at Mininullar, right, it's like 40 shades of grey going down there. We invested into good tarmac there through the road section a number of years ago, and it's all patched right down, right? And we have to bear in mind that there's obviously the human cost of this year when people are without water, but also our council staff that I'm always conscious of as well, because they're out in the middle of the night. During the day, they can go days without getting proper sleep, trying to find water bursts and fix them. So going back to your question, how much, you're talking roughly per burst, you're talking between 15 to 2,000 euros per burst. Wow. To fix, right? And if you add up, so I often ask for history of bursts on certain roads, and it's very difficult to get that proper breakdown from them. Now, you will on the QT, maybe some of the local lads will tell you, but what Esk Éireann's tell you and what the local lads are saying possibly could be two different things. And when you add all that up, right, it's a colossal piece of money, like millions. I'll happily send you on the email I got the last day. You're talking millions and millions instead of investing. And when the government, so-called the good times of the Celtic Tiger, when they had surplus of billions, instead of investing into proper water infrastructure and sewer infrastructure, the decision was made not to invest.
The government would argue, and Irish Water, Esk Éireann would argue it, and there probably is some merit to this argument, that yes, there were, you know, decades and decades of underspending in that area, and there is a lot of positive work has happened in Donegal Tan and different areas, but obviously there's still an awful lot of problems. So I'm just trying to be fair here, Micheál Colum, that progress has been made.
I understand what you're saying, but I would dispute some of that, because if you're talking about progress being made, right, yes, we've seen, right, if you look at Potacharán and if you look at Derechonra and areas that we had worked very hard to get new water infrastructure in, right, at Awonbag and different areas, right, but they're only small sections, right, that got done. We were promised in Gador many, many years ago that we would have a sewer system. We don't. We're going to build hopefully 16 new houses in Gador now very shortly of that land at the old Huey Joe's Hotel that we required, right, as a council, and a fantastic piece of work done by the council there, getting that land and housing issues, big issue, and it would be great to come on here to discuss the failures and the positives another time. But 16 houses we get to build and that is badly needed in Gador now, right? But if we had a sewer that is something that most developed worlds accept that are in every town and in every village, we'd be able to put far more houses into that.
Yeah, well, listen, Camille, that's exactly the point I was putting to Sinn Féin yesterday about their housing plan, and indeed the government's own housing plan. It's the infrastructure in Donegal's our problem, and you cannot, no matter how you promise it, you cannot build houses that you can't service with water and sewers. And therein, I think, lies one of the significant problems. But just lastly, last word to you.
Sorry, yeah, massive. Another thing is too, and I really want to raise this for people who are building their own homes, because I'm getting a lot of calls on it, right? So when people are building your new homes, please get in contact with Esk Éireann as quick as you possibly can. Get connected, get that paid and connected and all that, because it's taken months. I have a family now, as we sit, who have nowhere else to go, right, and needs to move into their new family home. They're carrying a new baby that's about to be born, and it's going to take months and months for Esk Éireann just to do a simple connection, you know. And people are frustrated. They have nobody to contact but their local councillors. They come to me, and I find it extremely frustrating that the arrogance and the dismissive view that they have on public representatives and not being able to sit down and talk to us.
All right.
We'll be meeting them tomorrow, and I can guarantee you it'll be all waffle.
I'd be interested to see how long the presentation is and how long each councillor gets to raise the issues.
Well, what they should be doing is that we should be having these meetings and allowing the public to come along to these meetings.
Well,
and if they're able to give us a Zoom link for those that can make tomorrow's meeting, surely they can Zoom them meetings live.
Okay. Well,
after all, it's our taxpayers' money and they're there to serve our community.
All right. Thanks very much, Micheál Colum. That's Councillor Micheál Colum of Glenaspig. We'll let you know how those meetings go tomorrow. From all over the county, the issue is the same. Unless you're here under direct provision, there's no end of transport for them. And this is what drives the divide in this county, says a listener. Don't forget, guards may well have been complicit in covering up abuse when Eugene Green was being blackmailed by one of his victims. Who did he run to first? The guards. But by then, the game was up after the Brendan Smith cover-up scandal. Some of these schools in Donegal should be checked for bullying. It's still going on amongst children. Well, listen, that's the thing. We have to just make sure that we don't focus necessarily historically and make sure that, and I would hope for the most part, is that schools are safe, secure places for our beautiful children. Good to see that Asda are returning to cashiers at checkouts again. You can't beat chatting to people. It's interesting, actually. Some of the big companies, particularly in Britain, I haven't seen figures as it relates to Ireland, have seen, they introduced a load of cashless checkouts, and they've seen the revenues drop. And all of a sudden they've said, okay, maybe we've overestimated the public's willingness or want to use these cash machines. Sorry, these checkout machines, the automated checkout machines. Asda returning to cashiers at checkouts again, and some other big companies as well going down that route. Interesting times. Hi, Greg. I guess the election has begun, given the comments. I would agree with the... This is on Sinn Féin's housing policy. I would agree with the red tape points regarding housing. The biggest issue is to have a cost manager in all public bodies. Board snip newer ASAP. Bike sheds, red tape, possible LPT increases. Where's the money going? The roads are in an atrocious condition. You can see where that call is coming from. We have hundreds of texts and contacts. Thank you so much for that. We're going to work through those through the course of the morning and keep them coming into us. They're so important. We really do appreciate it. We're going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices. As I say, there's some very interesting stuff coming up in the next couple of hours.